Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have
faith. Good evening, good evening, good evening. We are so glad that you are joining us on tonight for our Tuesday night Bible study with Praise Tabernacle Church. On behalf of our pastor, Bishop Omar Zachary, and his lovely wife, Lady Pamela Zachary, we welcome you to Tuesday night Bible study. We are so excited that you have joined us on tonight. We ask that you get your Bible and your paper and your pencil so that you can take notes on tonight. We are expecting a great word, and the word is just that great, and the word can change and transform your life. So we encourage you to study the word of God, to listen to the comments, to write some things down, and then go back and ask God how to apply it to your life. We are so excited tonight. We have one of our great teachers. His name is Minister Kevin Tolbert. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Minister Tolbert to teach the lesson on tonight. Minister Tolbert, it's in your hands, sir.
All right. Thank you so much, Evangelist Stanton. Thank you so much for everyone that's listening on tonight that decided to lend the ear to hear what thus says the Lord. And I just want to be able to just be obedient to the Lord on what he gave me to speak on today. And we will be coming from 2 Corinthians in our chapter 4, in our topic verse comes from verse 8 and 9. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, topic comes from verse 8 and 9. I'll read this, give the topic, and we'll go from there. So the word reads, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed." And the Lord gave me for a topic, "With Christ, we have the victory." And I'd just like to pray before going in. Heavenly Father, Lord, I open my mind and my heart to you on today, Lord. Ask that you would take over this blessing on tonight, Lord, and allow your spirit to ring free on tonight, Father God. For those that are listening, ask that you would touch their hearts and minds and ears to be open on tonight to hear what thus says the Lord. Allow me to just give the word, Lord, the unadulterated word that you have set aside on tonight, Father God. And I ask that you would hide me so that you would be seen on tonight, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So on tonight, we're basically going to go through a whole lot of scriptures, but not too much, but just get into perspective on what we're going to where we're going on tonight. So we want to get a better perspective of what it's like to have the victory with Christ and then touch on a lot of other things. So we're going to start from verse 1 and see what Paul was talking to the church at Corinth about and how this is going to relate not only to them but bring it into relation with us, what we can learn from it and how we can incorporate this on a daily for us. So we're going to go through some scriptures and see where it goes from here. Starting at verse 1, and verse 1 reads, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." So with this, Paul is talking to the church at Corinth. He opens up this chapter by giving encouraging words not to be discouraged. He also commends them for using the word of God properly by teaching and preaching and telling the truth. There's a separation between them and others that are using the word of God deceitfully. And as we know, there are some folks that still use the word of God because of how they want to use it. They still want to use it to their advantage, to take advantage of folks, and can be very misleading, which is a part of the craftiness that Paul is speaking on. So we know that if we have a right way to preach, there's also a wrong way to preach or a wrong way to teach. There's folks that use the scripture to their advantage. So, you know, right now, it's a good thing that this church at Corinth is going about it the right way with the teaching and preaching the gospel. As a church, we have to make sure that we're always using the word of God the right way. By that, I mean with the correct interpretation, with the correct application, and without any ill will. So just the pure, unadulterated truth. So that's what we're supposed to do as Christians, even when we're witnessing or however. Just you want to be pure at heart and pure with what you're doing, and also just knowing that you're given the truth. And that truth comes from the Holy Spirit. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to do his job and communicate with God for us. You have to allow to communicate the Holy Spirit to communicate and be in the midst. And having the Holy Spirit, as I said, is a sign of the evidence of even being a Christian. So the word says, "Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." And that's in Romans 8 and 9. So you want to make sure that you're operating in the Spirit when it comes down to the things of ministry and when it comes down to operating in the church. So hopefully that just helps put that into perspective before we even begin to go forward. Just like I said in the beginning, that's just some encouraging words to the church at Corinth, but also for us as well to go forward as a church. I'm going to go on to verse 3 and 4. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Paul is saying if our gospel, which is the truth, is hid, or if it's not connected to the unbelievers, you know, for example, it's not because we're not preaching or we're not teaching the right thing to preach, but it's because of the devil, which is the god of this world, has blinded them from receiving that true light that comes across from Jesus. The devil attacks the mind, and that's how he controls the masses. There's several examples of this today, you know, on how the devil can get involved in different things, and he begins to work on the mind. And as he works on the mind, you know, that'll block people from being able to, you know, see Christianity the way that they need to see it. So nowadays, for example, all it takes is for one person to say something crazy about Christianity online or something like that. And, you know, a lot of us are online, so you could be on social media and you read a post, and if you click on it and look at the comments, it's so much stuff that could be heavily against the Word of God in the middle of that. And somebody could just be saying something positive about Christianity, and you get so many folks that want to come for, you know, Christianity. Another example, it was a couple months ago, I saw a post about school opening in Illinois that, you know, they wanted to do an after-school club that was going to be a satanic after-school club. And they approved this stuff. And you got some of the folks in the comments that's agreeing with this, saying that this okay. And then also besides that, you got people from that satanic club that says, oh, we're not going to preach. We're not going to teach about Satan. We're just saying that, you know, there is no good or evil, and that we're atheists. And I'm like, oh, so that's how y'all block the minds of the people. Y'all can get people in and draw them in and then say, switch it up and just say something completely different. And now you've got the minds of the people a little bit twisted, as an example, because I don't know why people would listen to someone like that, because it ain't like the devil gonna tell you everything the truth. You know, that doesn't make any sense for him to tell you all the truth. So I just don't understand why people would do something like that, as an example that related to our times. Stuff like this happen where you do have people that want to misuse the word, and also that's how the devil comes into play, where he can just trick the minds of the people. But before I go any further, I'd like to open up the floor to anyone that has any comments on what I said or any questions or anything. Okay.
Doing good, Minister Trevor, doing good.
Okay, all right, no problem. I just wanted to see. All right, so we're going to go forward. So last verse I read was verse 4. I'm going to keep going from there. In whom the god of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Verse 5 unto 6. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So Paul is saying that we're not preaching about us. You know, this ain't about us. It's all about Jesus. The same Jesus who was there in the beginning of time when God said, let there be light, and like it says, and let the light shine out of darkness. Now, this is way back in Genesis 1 and 3. So you talking about the same Jesus that was there back then, that's who we're preaching about, you know, the one and true God. This is the same God that we're talking about that shine His light not only on the world, but on the world through the sun, the S-U-N, but He shined His light through the S-O-N, through His Son in our hearts. So we're talking about that same God. So not to have any confusion on what we're talking about, we are talking about the one and true God. And that's a personal connection with God right there when He shines His light on your heart. When He's, you know, when you have God in your heart, that shows a personal connection and a personal relationship with God. And we have to be personal with God. We have to have a connection with God so that when we do go speak to someone, we do witness to someone, that God that is within us comes out of us. So if you don't have that connection with God, if you're not putting the Word of God in you, there's no Word of God that's going to come out of you. So you always have to make sure that you're connected to God so that when the time comes, you can speak of God and preach of God. Like they're saying, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. So in order to do that, you have to be in His Word and make it to the point where His Word is a priority, you know, so that it can come out of you when necessary. And I know that, honestly, not everyone may study every day or something like that, but you know that you have to get it in so that it can come out, because His Word is what's going to help you, you know, and His Word is how you can be an example to someone else, how you can help someone else, because you never know what someone else is going through. And this ain't just a common saying. When you know that you put a word in someone, because God put a word in you. So if you were studying something and you came across someone that was struggling, maybe that same word that you were just studying, you give it to somebody else, and that's exactly what they need. And honestly, that just happened with my wife and I. So a friend of hers had a situation, and they needed some information on how to go forward, how to move forward in confirmation. And I gave a scripture that I was studying. And when my wife sent that same scripture, later on the next day, she gets confirmation that, hey, I was listening to a song, and those same scriptures were literally in that song. And that scripture is part of what we're reading tonight. That scripture is actually my topic scripture. So you never know when what you're studying is going to come up and be able to help someone. But what if I wasn't studying? You know, that means that you missed the opportunity to witness, an opportunity to do what you're supposed to do in Christ. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Evangelist Stanton. Were you about to say something?
I was wonderful studying tonight. And when you were talking about speaking out of your heart, it immediately took me to that scripture. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And that's found in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Matthew 12, 34. The total of that script, that verse says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And you're right, what's in us is going to come out through our mouth. And
that's
if you
right.
have the word of God in you, then the word of God is going to come out of you. And I'm not necessarily saying that you're going to speak scriptures every time you talk to somebody, but you're going to speak life. You're going to speak words of encouragement. You're going to speak seeds that bring good produce. And when you hear somebody speak who's not encouraging, when you hear somebody speak, you know, who cussed all the time, you know what's in their heart. It
right.
reveals. You know, you can say that you a Christian all you want to, but your fruit is really going to tell off. So I like that you said that. You've got to put the word of God in you. So that is what's going to come up. Because it's gonna eventually tell by your mouth. You know, you just continue to listen to somebody. You know, they may say, yeah, oh, I'm a Christian, yeah, I go to church. But you can really tell who's sitting down and reading the word of God, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. So thank you for that on tonight.
Well, I'd like to
thank you for that wonderful comment.
What you
oh, go ahead, Evangelist Bullitt.
I wanted to say something real quick. Even if you know the Bible inside out, I mean, you said in your heart it's going to come out. Okay, so you can have all the word also. You can know, like I said, the Bible inside out. Them true feelings is going to come out. Push the wrong buttons or try to correct somebody. It's going to come out. Or say something that
right.
You disagree. You disagree with somebody. Believe me. And it goes back to the beginning of this chapter. Okay? We have to be mindful to stay humble, okay, to be kind, be strong, be loving at all times. This is not a sometimes thing that we do. It's all times.
That's right.
You never know who might be looking, who might be watching, other than we know God watching. But we don't know the other somebody might be looking or listening around the corner, and you've been exposed because you ran off at the mouth at the wrong time because you let your flesh. We have to crucify this flesh. Crucify it daily. Because like she said, what's in your heart, it's going to come out. So I don't care how much words you have. If you got hell in you and your heart ain't right, it's going to come out.
That's right. It'll come out. But, you know, and that's why to piggyback to what you're saying, how it could come out, you know, for those that, you know, even if, like you're saying, that we're reading a word, but that means that to me, and this is opinion, that means that you weren't sincere. You know, not that we won't ever mess up. I'm not saying that because we can all mess up. That's not what I'm saying. But I feel like if you have that opportunity, especially if you know that the opportunity presents itself to present Christ, and, you know, something else come out, something crazy come up, even though you know the word of God, and I'm talking like you messed it up. And yeah, I feel like, you know, you probably wasn't sincere in what you was doing in the first place. And that's just, like I said, that's opinion. I'm not pulling a scripture to match that or anything. That's just opinion on that. But I feel like
They know the formality. They know church.
Yes.
They know how to have church and do church.
I mean, and you know, you can add a scripture to that, you know, you know, having a form of godliness, but, you know, denying the power thereof, you know, and stuff like, you know, you can add something to it. I wasn't, you know, directly using that scripture, but you can add something that could possibly go in that direction. But it's all about knowing God and having a personal connection with God and keeping them in your heart, so that when those things come up, you know, you can attack them a little bit better. You know, not saying, like I said, we're not, as I did on Sunday, it's not that we're perfect, you know, but God will make our way perfect. You know, he will make our way perfect. So through him, through Christ, we can be perfect. Through Christ, we have the victory. Ain't nothing that we can do on our own to be any type of close to perfect. But it's all through Christ, through his justification, through his blood, through his word. So that's what I would say on that. Anybody else got anything on those verses 5 or 6 before moving forward? All right. I'll move on to 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. In other words, we have the good news of salvation in unworthy earthen vessels. So, for example, on a side note, we can't put God into a box, okay? God's word does not belong in a box, but to be wrapped and presented to the world in truth by way of good teaching, good godly teaching, good preaching, and witnessing. We have to spread the good news of Jesus and not the good news of ourselves. So we have to remain focused, and that's part of the point of what we're talking about on verse 7 is, of course, being able to remain focused and stay true to the Lord and witnessing and things of that nature. Anybody got anything to add before we go to 8 and 9? Because it's a little bit, we took a different route on those next topic scriptures.
It's not about us.
Okay.
That's all I have to say. It's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ.
Right. It's all about Jesus, and as long as we can remember that it's not about us, that allows us to, you know, to operate properly, focus better. When we don't try to make ourselves and try and put a big spotlight on us versus spotlighting the word, you know, then, you know, we'll be okay. So we don't need to spotlight ourselves, put the spotlight on the word of God, put the spotlight on Jesus, you know. We don't even need the spotlight because we don't deserve the spotlight. You know, so it's not about us, it's about Jesus. And thank you for that, Vengeance Blue Egg. And I'm going to move on to 8 and 9, which is the topic scriptures. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Now, when I hear that, just before we even get any further, those words right there are pure words of encouragement and allows me to understand that what we go through, you know, is temporary and at the end we'll have the victory. So we can go through what we go through and there's nothing wrong with that, but we'll definitely have the victory. So these verses are motivational, where it says we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. So that's where the victory comes in for me at that point. I believe that with Christ we do have the victory and everything is all right. So I'm sorry. Someone had just came up beside me and asked a question. I'm sorry. So that's where I take joy and take pride on verse 8 and 9 because I know that we're going to have the victory. So these scriptures, what comes to mind when I read these is, if God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8 and 31. And this question, as in, who in their right mind could stand a chance against God? So who feels like they big and bad enough to attempt to mess with God? So those scriptures right there put me in that mindset of, you know, I'm a child of God. I know that we go through this stuff. We're troubled on every side. But at the end of the day with Christ, we're going to have the victory. So who wants to mess with God? You know, we have our protection. We have God to protect us at all times. So who wants to mess with God? Who wants to mess with the children of God? We know that God will protect us. We know that he'll see our way through. And then that's kind of confirmation when I look at verse 8 and verse 9. That's confirmation that we're going to make it through. Even though we're going to be cast down, we're going to be persecuted but not forsaken, meaning that God ain't forgot about you. We just have to realize that regardless of how it looks in our situation, we still come out with the victory, thanks to the Lord. So where would I be without the Lord? Where would I be if it wasn't for him, if it wasn't for his love, if it wasn't for his grace, if it wasn't for his mercy? Then where would I be? See, because it's not about us, like we said. It's all about Jesus and understanding that Jesus is the reason why we're in the position that we're in. And I open the floor. Any questions or comments on that part?
Yeah, Minister Toe, I do want to say one thing. I wanted to just listen tonight, but verses 8 and 9, even though I've read this a million times and studied it and had it in me, like you were saying earlier, so we can give to others. And real life, I used to share with others. Well, I do share with others. Try to encourage them, word of God, even personal conversations, whatnot. But these two verses had me messed up when my youngest daughter went through her situation. And it's easy to, it's almost easy to tell other people you're going to be okay, it's going to be all right because God loves you. God made a promise to you that if you have faith in him, he will carry you through. It's easy to say that to other people when it hit home, though, you know, in your own family, your own personal life. That what we practice to teach, we got to practice even in our own lives. And it kind of messed me up about what happened to her and then going through all what she did through the hospital, then coming home and she, you know, running away. And the mental state that which she was in, I was thinking about me and just seeing her walking and grabbing her. I went through a lot, and that particular day, you know, we had, I don't know, 20, 30 police cars over at the house, dogs sniffing water and searching for her. And pastor came over, you know, to see how I was doing, and I broke down, and I was mad at God. I was mad because all the things that my wife do, that I do, that we as a family do to try to help others and give even our last to help somebody. It messed me up personally. So these two verses, I'm encouraged by even now that he still has me, that he still protects me. Even though I'm going to go through trials and tribulations, even going through, he's with me. Coming out, he has me, you know. And so that day, Pastor left, I was so messed up. And to prove these two scriptures, 8 and 9, to prove them that God kept his promise on keeping us, is that my daughter Vanessa, just out of the blue, started looking at something on social media and had a hunch.
Mm-hmm.
And she went over there and found my daughter, unharmed, safe, and everything. So it's not that we're not going to go through. It's how we handle it, and I didn't handle it. I didn't handle it at that time, and I was mad at God for not keeping me right, not keeping my family right, letting these things happen. So I learned to be stronger now and just have more faith that when things do happen, the end won't be like I visualized. It'll be what he said. I got you.
That's right.
That's all I got.
No, I appreciate that. Definitely a wonderful comment because I remember back when everything happened as well and speaking to you during that time frame. So I know what you're saying from what you told me. And that was definitely a tough time. But look at where God has brought her to right now and brought you to right now. So it's just wonderful to get to that point. But I get what you're saying. In the middle of it, it's a different story. When it hit home, and I remember when you told me that line on the phone personally, that, you know, it's different when it hits home. You know, it's different when, you know, that's your own household. And you have to live those same, that part of the same scripture that we're talking about and stuff like that. It's different versus I pray for you and keep going when it's your situation and, you know, the spotlight is on you, the fire is hot, so to speak. It's different. So I get it, and I definitely I understand where you're coming from on that. But the good part is, same way that you can use that as an example, people hear you on today and understand that, you know, hey, we're still human, we're still in the flesh, you know, that's an elder speaking. And the elder, you know, had the same issue that I went through or this and that. You know, we are not alone in this fight or in this battle. We're not alone when it comes down to different things that can happen to us. You know, we have same, you know, we have people that go through similar stuff in our lives. So there's someone else that listened to what you just said and instantly motivated in the same way. Like, hey, he made it through it. You know, God did it for him. Do it for me. You know, we don't know everybody else's situation even as we go through these things. But it's our job once we make it out to let everybody know that we made it out so that we can be an example for the next person and be motivation that you're going to make it through. So when I read 8 and 9, you know, I was definitely encouraged as well. And like I said in the beginning, the fact that this scripture, and honestly, I'm only going through this lesson at all because of my daughter. Because my daughter began to pick up the Bible more. We gave her a Bible, like a study Bible, a while back, and she decided to use it. And it has a scripture literally for every day that pertains to the day. And a couple of days ago, one of the scriptures that we're going to get to was on there. And when I heard it, which is verse 16, I said, man, that's it. That's going to be the new the Bible study lesson. So confirmation is once you hear something like that, you develop the lesson and see how it touches and affects every other person. Like I said, the same scriptures 8 and 9 I just sent to my wife's friend, well, to my wife to send to her friend last night and got confirmation on some things that she had going on, and it was encouraging and last night. So I'm like, we're where we're supposed to be. This message is for somebody. What we go through in life, not only is for us, but it's for somebody else to be encouraged and to stay encouraged. So I appreciate how strong you've been, Elder. And also, Elder Taylor, I know he's listening, and this scripture is for Elder Taylor as well, with the things that he's been going through, knowing that, you know, with Christ, you're going to have the victory. You know, you may be in the middle of your storm and things is going on, but you're going to have the victory. And anyone else in the body of Christ that may be going through, these scriptures are for you to know that even though we're pressed down, we're cast down, but not destroyed. And that's what I had to say. Anybody else had to say anything on 8 and 9 before we go forward from here?
I would just like to say 8 and 9 is some of my go-to scriptures also. I was recently going through some things, and I actually heard Vershawn Mitchell's song, Turning Around for Me, and it contains these scriptures in it. And it was like, I can remember I was walking in the store, and it was almost as if I was looking for somebody to say, it's going to be okay. And I got in the car, and that song came on, and these were the words. You know, he was saying, you know, troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. And he said, it's turning around for me. And these are very encouraging scriptures, very encouraging, like you said. And I would encourage anybody on tonight, no matter what you're going through, you can apply these scriptures to whatever it is. That's what I love about the Word of God, because the Word of God is applicable to every situation in our life. And God can give us that comfort that we need in his word. And sometimes, you know, you might not think to go to the word. I mean, you may say, you know, okay, I know the word. But sometimes, you know, thank God the Holy Spirit may bring something back to your remembrance, or it may be in a song, or it may be somebody saying something to you, you know, to let you know you can make it. You can make it. It looks like
that's
everything
right.
is breaking through in your life, but you can make it. So, you know, I just, God, but yeah, these are, that verse 8 and 9 are very powerful scriptures. And they're just a reminder that when you do go through, because you are going to go through in this life, but you don't have to be cast down and destroyed. You can still walk with peace of mind and joy in the word of God. Amen.
Amen. That's correct.
I'm glad you said that. I wasn't going to say that, but I'm glad you said that, because Elder, who just told the story about the daughter, I was on the opposite end, and Dove, Lady Dove, who just spoke, called me when she was missing, and God gave me a peace and let me know that she was going to be okay. And the story was a little different from what he told. He said the confirmation came through a Facebook, and I went over there when my daughter told me she knew where she was. I told the police I was going to go. I mean, I let them know I was going to go over there and get my daughter myself, because it was taking too long to respond. And I took her immediately to the hospital. But God gave me such a peace. And we have to remember, whenever you're going through, Google what you're going through that's in the Bible. If you need peace or promises of God, Google the promises of God. And write them down. Put them on your mirror. Put them on your car dash. Put them wherever you can, where you spend most of your time. Taste them on there to remind you what God's promises are, because they are true. Believe me, he wouldn't have gave me peace 2.5 months. I'm not even going to go into all of that. But God, when I tell you this word is a living word, we will go through. But you, like Minister Toby said, we have the victory. Why are we so, I'm talking to the believers right now, we give the enemy so much credit. He don't have any credit. We have the victory. Walk with victory. Walk, not saying that you're not going to feel, you know, have feelings sometimes, but that's when you go to the scriptures. That's when you do the Googling. You know, everything is in the scripture. There's nothing under the sun that happened that did not happen, that haven't happened. So we have to either believe the word or we're not.
Amen, amen. That's correct. We have to believe in his word. And, you know, with last thing I'm going to say on verse 8 and 9, wonderful comments that's going to be encouraging to everyone. Just to give a little bit on how this affects me as well, it's motivation because for those that may or may not know, I started a business last year, first time in business. It took me 8 or 9 years to get to that point before starting the business. And by the time I get it going and, you know, everything is fine, and then recently this year be able to get another truck. It's a trucking company. And then things begin to happen to where every time I turn around, I'm spending thousands of dollars or this or that. And I'm like, goodness. You know, so you feel attacked in a sense because there's so much going on and so much at one time, so much stuff that I didn't know in business that's hitting me at one time. And you just feel like, you know, you're under attack. And then when I was studying and reading 8 and 9, that's what gave me encouraging words that everything will be all right. It's just I'm in the middle of my storm while making it out, you know. So it hits everyone differently. And there's other situations that I could provide, you know, to be able to relate to 8 and 9. But right now, that's the current thing for me. And, you know, I just thank God for these scriptures that are motivational and that touch us in real life scenarios, because we have some scriptures to where they're good scriptures. They're all, you know, make sense, but it's different when it applies to you immediately, like right now, or if it applies to something that you just went through or came out of. It hits different at that point. And I just want to continue to encourage everyone to just stay on the right track, stay focused, use these scriptures as motivation as we continue to go through this lesson, and we'll see what else the Lord has to offer on tonight. But just remember that with Christ, we have the victory. And with that, I'm going to move on to verse 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Verse 12. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. So these scriptures are used, these scriptures are for us to understand that because of our acceptance of Jesus Christ, we also accept his sufferings along with his death, which grants us life at the end. So in other words, his death is part of us in his life as well. So this flesh will die just like his flesh, but the spirit in us will live in eternity with the Lord. So just like Jesus rose, we believe by faith that we will rise as well. And I think that the other scripture that puts this into perspective, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. So that's more of evidence of scripture back from scripture of, you know, basically we have the connection of his life and his death within us, you know, within the scriptures that I just read. And I think that, you know, that's another example of, or a better translation of what was just read within verse 10 through 12. And we're going to go forward to verse 13. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall rise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. Verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound the glory of God. Paul gives a quote from a psalm, which is in Psalms 116 and 10, I believe and therefore have I spoken. That's the beginning part of what he's saying in that. That scripture in verse 13 that comes from Psalms, and then he makes it current and brings it into what he wants to say within the next few verses. Now he's standing on the belief that we will be raised up by Jesus through our faith in Jesus. He also is saying that all this is for your benefit. So the things that we go through, things that is transpiring is for our benefit, and really for our benefit as in this gives us more firepower for us to see the abundance of the grace and the faith in Jesus which will cause an overflow of thanksgiving of the glory of God. So it's all a process, and it's all directly related, if that makes any sense. I'm going to open the floor. Anybody have anything they would like to add to what I just said? And I know I just said a whole lot. All right. We'll go on to verse 16. Get ready to wrap it up once we get to 18. Verse 16 reads, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Outwardly our flesh is dying, but that spirit that is within us is renewed daily. Our flesh gets old and it changes, but our spirit belongs to God because we were bought with a price." Paul already said in Romans 12:2, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." So we have to use our bodies the right way. We have to serve God from the inside out. And it starts in the inside with the spirit, but we have to bring this flesh under subjection. Example of this scripture, this scripture is made possible, like I said, really because of how it hit me was because of my daughter. My daughter being able to be an example of how you train your child up the way they should go. And she was working on getting some word within herself. And this is the word that was given to her in verse 16 for that day. And I thank God for her gravitating towards God in the way that she does now, and not because of anything that I've done directly, but, you know, because of she's seeing her father, seeing her, you know, I have a connection with God, but it's all about you having your own connection with God. So we all have to work on having our connection with the Lord. So regardless of if whatever situation, you want to make sure that you continue to have a connection with the Lord yourself, your children. And, of course, we would love for friends and family as well, but you can only do so much with them. You have to worry about, you know, within your household and understand that this is a daily walk. Like Evangelist Bluette said earlier today, you know, we got to make sure that that flesh dies daily, and that ties into this scripture. You know, you want to make sure that the outward man is going to perish, which is, you know, we're on the other end of the outward man is going to perish is, of course, you know, by death. You know, there's many ways to add to this application by death, but we know that that spirit is going to live on. So we want to make sure that we're working on the spiritual side of things. You know, that flesh, we got to get that flesh into subjection. We got to get that flesh in order. But at the end of the day, we have to feed the spirit, and we have to walk in spirit because we can serve God in spirit and in truth. So anything else before I go into the closing scriptures on 17:18?
Yeah, I would like to say something real quick on this, for which cause we faint not. When I think of getting extremely hungry, and I've seen people to the point, you know, where they didn't, you know, haven't eaten a meal all day, you know, not necessarily because they couldn't, you know, afford to eat or they didn't have any food, you know, maybe they just got really busy. And sometimes when you get hungry, you can get a little lightheaded, you know, and you might feel like you feel a little faintish, like you might faint. I think about that with the Word of God, too, because if you don't feed the spiritual man, the Word of God, it gets very weak. And in getting weak, it can faint. And so your flesh man begins to take over because you're feeding that very robust meals, but you're not feeding your spiritual man robust meals, which is the word of God. So when I read that, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, because see, we should be starving the outward man and feeding the spiritual man. So, I definitely agree, you know, that as we get older, but I also look at it in that aspect, we give so much food to our outward man and we barely feed our spiritual man. This word is encouraging us, don't allow your spiritual man to faint. Feed it. Give it all the nutrients that it needs, the spiritual man. And you cut back on feeding the flesh. Cut back on feeding the flesh. So it just reminds me, you know, of eating, you know, and not eating. If we don't eat, you know, you feel a little woozy. But it's the same way with the spiritual man. If you don't feed the spiritual man, you feel a little woozy. You know, you don't have any word to bring up. You don't have any, you know, especially like we were talking about earlier, in your heart, you know, not just knowing what the word of God says, but allowing the word of God to transform your mind, your thinking, your heart, your words, your life, to bring healing, to bring deliverance, to bring salvation, to bring comfort, to bring encouragement. I mean, this is what the word does to your spiritual man so that you can be strong, so that you can have that peace, so that you can have the fullness of joy is found in the word of God, because your flesh man is not going to bring joy. Your flesh man is going to bring happiness, and that's only when something good is happening. Your flesh man is only going to bring you temporary pleasure. But when you feed your spiritual man, I mean, so even though things are going on around you, all hell may be breaking loose, but you can still have the joy of the Lord as your strength. So that's what that reminded me of. And praise God. Amen. Thank you.
Whew, that was a wonderful comment. That summed up the whole lesson right there. We don't even have to go forward. That was powerful, and I appreciate that comment. That was very, very on point with what the word says, and I definitely appreciate adding that extra, that icing on top of the cake. I definitely appreciate that. Definitely a great perspective on that and great interpretation of that word right there. And if anyone else want to say anything, now's the time. I'm going to read 17 and 18, and I'll be closing out between 17 and 18. All right. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So Paul starts out by saying the things that we go through are light, as in weight comparison to the weight of the reward that we'll receive, which is an eternity with the Lord Jesus in heaven. So I did a message on Sunday, and part of that message goes directly with what's stated in verse 18. We have to fix our eyes to see things differently. We can't place a higher value on things that we see here on earth daily, but we have to put a higher value on the things that are unseen. things that we don't see, which is heaven. We have to have our treasures up in heaven. So we need to see that earth has its failures, but with God, it's only victory. There's only victories in heaven. So we have to train our eyes to see the things that are far more important than what we see on a daily basis, the things that are directly in front of us all the day. We get caught up in that, which is easy to do because we're all guilty of that. But we have to store up our treasures in heaven and notice that we're here temporarily. This is temporary. We have to have our mindset and our focus on the heavenly things. So that's why on Sunday, and I had used a quote, we don't look for a reason to prove failures. We look for a reason to prove the evidence of victories. So we don't have to worry about the different failures that come along in life and different things that we may see as a failure, but see the victory within, because at the end of the day, God has brought you through something. So that's a victory. So we have to focus on the things that we don't see, you know, and the things that we don't think about. We have to place a higher value on that. And we have to realize that we are winning and we're on the winning team, because with God, we can't lose. So forget about, you know, all the stuff that we do see here and focus on serving Jesus, serving the Lord that we don't see, because the evidence of his presence is here in our lives today. So we have to focus on those things. And with Jesus, we have the victory. And that's it for me. Any final comments? And I'll turn this over to Evangelist Stanton for any final comments and everything else.
Elder Minister Tober, I just want to comment real quick.
Yeah.
And the lesson was like, it was awesome from beginning to end. I got a lot out of it. Actually, I'm actually getting some of it right now. And the comment from everyone that's been commenting has been a blessing. It's just a blessing because, you know, the devil will try you. And even as we're going through the lesson, the devil then crept up and just wanted to put a spin on my day just as we were going through the lesson. And wow. I'm just thankful for y'all because if it wasn't for y'all, I wouldn't be in the place I am right now, because God's word is alive. And if you apply it and you use it, and just like you said, whatever you put in you will come out. So what I'm getting put in right now is coming out right now. And I'm so thankful for y'all for that, because like I said, the devil tried to mess with my brain a few minutes ago. And I'm just thankful that y'all are doing the word and y'all doing what you do. So I just want to say praise the Lord for that, and a great lesson, man. Great lesson.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. God be the glory. And I'm glad that it touched you in that way, and to be able to be a witness, because someone needed to hear that. And I'm glad that you spoke up, because someone needed to hear that. And I know I'm one of them, so I appreciate that comment. That's very encouraging. Was there anyone else that wanted to say anything?
Yeah, I got one more little thing. So,
go ahead.
Great lesson. Honor from line, great lesson, great lesson. Great explanation, great teachings. But sometimes you got to sit down and think about your life, think about what's going on. Are you causing it? Or is the devil causing it? Is God taking you through the test? You gotta know what you're going through. So, and it's a saying that all preachers have said for years, is that if you never have issues, if you're never going through things, you might be in line with the devil's direction, meaning going the same way to hell, right?
Mm.
And if you're going through things, constantly having issues, it could be the devil is looking at your future and he don't want you to get there. So no matter what state of mind you're in, God has you. And if you reach out, he'll bring you out of that state you're in to put you in a mind like Christ, to to keep going. That's a great lesson. I appreciate your teachings. Love it.
Amen. You, amen. I just want to say in that verse 17, I like that verse 17. It says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. That's to encourage us that our affliction is not as heavy as we really think it is. You know, it's a light affliction, which is but for a moment. It's not going to last as long as you think it's going to last. It may seem like it's lasting a long time, but time to God is not the same time that we live on. So when God looks at us and when he's seen it, he knows that it's only a light affliction. It's only a little thing compared to who he is, compared to how he can heal, compared to how he can deliver. It's only a light affliction because God is greater than whatever you have got going on. And then it's only but for a moment. It may seem like it's been lasting 2 months. It may seem like it's been lasting a year. It may even seem like it's been lasting for 10 years. But God is saying it's really not that long. You hang in there. You don't give up. You look to me. I got you. I got your back. I got your front. I got your top and I got under you. I have got you. So our affliction is not as heavy as we think it is, and it's only but a moment. You be encouraged.
That's right. That's right. Beautiful comments and way to really seal the deal on this. I really thank you all for every comment because it's really putting things into perspective on how it touches each and every last one of us. And it touches us in different ways. And those examples are just powerful. And I just thank you. Thank you, Evangelist Stanton. Thank you, Evangelist Bluett, Elder Bluett, and Elder Oliver. Thank you all. Thank you for the opportunity even be here to be able to teach on tonight. And I know my daughter's not listening, but thank you to her because through God and touching her, that's the reason why we're in this lesson on tonight. Otherwise, it may have been a different scripture reading. But thank you all, and that's all for me. Unless there's anyone else that's saying anything, I'll turn this over to Evangelist Stanton for closing.
Praise God, praise God. What a great, great lesson on tonight. We just thank God, Minister Tolbert, for allowing him to use you on tonight to encourage us in the Word of God. Because you know what? There's a lot of people going through. There's a lot of people experiencing some hardships. But this is just a reminder that God's Word is something that we have to fall back on. And so I just thank you on tonight for that reminder and even using your daughter, you know, to bring that scripture to us on tonight. So we just encourage everybody that's listening to go back into this word and apply it. Apply it. Don't just listen and hear it, but apply it to your mind and your thoughts. You know, I like to sometimes take scripture and I just read it again and again and again and again until I just begin by faith through hearing the word, just begin to believe, okay, God, I know you got this. And sometimes that's the best thing to do is just read the word out loud. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and it's by what you're saying too. So if you're reading the word and you begin to hear the word, you begin to build up your faith in the word of God, no matter what you're going through. So we just thank and praise God for this lesson on tonight. I just want to remind you, Monday nights we have D&K Bible Break with our very own Elder Oliver and his lovely wife, Kisa Oliver. That is 7 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Then Tuesday night, of course, is our Bible study at 7 p.m. With our panel, and we're just so excited about the Word of God. I don't know about anybody else, but I look forward to Tuesday night. It's just so encouraging, everybody on the panel. I like that we are real with our lives, you know, because we're walking this thing out every each and every day also in the Word of God. Then Thursday night, we have the Royal Bluettes at 7 p.m. You guys have got to listen in on Thursday night on Blog Talk Radio to the Royal Bluettes. They are a real blessing. The whole family participates and just encourages us how as a family to walk it out in the Word of God. And then on Sunday morning, 9 a.m., we have our Sunday morning praise worship and words every Sunday morning, our regular service on Sunday at 9 a.m. It's on Facebook and Blog Talk Radio at 9 a.m. We also want to remind you that we do have our email, ptc4christ@gmail.com. If you have a praise report, if you have a testimony, or if there's a topic that you would like us to cover through the Word of God, just email us at ptcforchrist@gmail.com. And if there is nothing else, we would like to pray and then read our scripture that we try to monitor ourselves after. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the teacher on tonight. We pray, Father God, that you would just pour back into him everything that he poured out tonight. We pray, Father, that lives will be changed with this word, that somebody will be encouraged to go on to see what the end is going to be. We pray and we thank you and we glorify you. And with that, Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Have an amazing rest of the night and an amazing week. And we would like to say good night, be blessed, and stay encouraged. Amen.